There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Matt, and I'm actually emotional because this is my last plug of the year for Have You Heard of Christmas, the tour. I am having my last few shows. I would love for you guys to come. I'm at the Castro Wednesday, December 20th in San Francisco, at Ace Hotel Thursday, December 21st in LA, and on Saturday, December 23rd, I will be at the Town Hall in New York City, and then I will just disappear into a cloud of smoke, I promise you. But anyway, stream the album, come see us on tour, and if you have already, I love you so much. It's been the joy of my life meeting you guys. Mwah! Love you. Okay, here's Las Culturistas.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My eye, oh my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you end up going to Madonna?
I am going to apologize profusely to the people. Well, first and foremost, to Madonna for not going.
Yeah.
But also to the lovely people at the Barclays Center. The lovely people at H&M who were going to generously put me up in their finest silks to go and attend the concert.
Goodness.
To go in their little box. But you know what? I'm going to throw my other SNL girlies under the bus. They invited some of us. We all were like, we're so at zero. Like, it was not going to be the right vibe.
I think it's just fine. Also, you know, she didn't end up going on for so
long.
Like, she makes you wait because, bitch, she's Madonna, et cetera. It's been said before. It will be said again. I'm sure she'll say it. Bitch, I'm Madonna. You're going to wait for me. And you guys can't be waiting up. You got to get your beauty rest.
No, Madonna is on Lauryn Hill time in terms of live performance. Or, I'm sorry, Miss Lauryn Hill. And we cannot rush these people. They deserve the time.
No.
But it's not going to work with my current spirit. And
this time.
This is not a complaint. I'm being very sensitive about this. I'm not complaining that my life is any harder than anyone else's. I just think it was not going to work for Madonna
this
at
time.
The Celebration Tour, which it looks fabulous. It looks like everyone's having a great time.
I've been paying my respects because I know I'm not going to be able to go either. Can I tell you what song goes so hard?
Tell me. La Isla Bonita?
Absolutely. And someone said on Twitter, like, if Madonna's going to do one thing, it's perform La Isla Bonita. Like, she is out here.
Were you going to say La Isla Bonita?
No, I wasn't.
Oh,
I was going to say Gang Bang off MDMA. Oh, my
Such
God.
Such a shocking name. I do love MDMA. MDMA kind of got...
MDMA goes in very hard.
I love... Give me all your love. I just love the whole like chanting.
Oh, one of the greats.
L-U-V, Madonna.
Madonna.
Y-O-U,
you
wanna.
You wanna.
It's so fun.
I mean, we love MDMA. We've never said anything otherwise. It feels like sacrilege that my year of going to and celebrating
all the divas.
all the icons to miss Madonna.
The icon.
And a couple weeks ago, a bunch of my friends went to LA for Chris Schleicher's birthday and they saw Kylie Minogue in what looks to be such a stunning room. And it's, but I did see Kylie at World Pride. So I actually checked my Kylie box before Isn't that unbelievable? And I have a feeling this might be our last episode of the year. So this can very much be wrap up because I just don't think we're going to do one for the last week. So this might be the last coach of the year.
That's okay. Let's make it recap episode. Come on, let's go.
It's unbelievable that that was this year, that I was in Sydney, Australia this year, vomiting in Ubers because of a mixture of alcohol abuse and mourning and grief. And vomiting all over myself and then finding myself at the Kylie Minogue concert a different day. I didn't go to the Kylie Minogue concert covered in vomit. But going to see her at World Pride pre-Padam. That was this year.
Pre-Padam.
That was where I was at.
Oh my God, that was pre-Padam.
Oh, I have to say, one of the things that we have to always remember is that Padam was not just always here.
No. It feels like an eternal song, an eternal sort of missive from the ancients.
Oh, 100%. This is something that actually was born in the early summer and allowed it to be Song of the Summer and the winner of Record of the Year at the Las Culturistas Culture Awards, a fate that a lot of people didn't see coming for it, but we knew from the beginning.
Well, we were so lucky to have her perform at the show, even though she looked suspiciously like Patty Harrison.
Yeah. I mean, do we reveal at this time that it was Patty the whole time?
It was Patty.
Do we finally pull back the curtain on that?
Let's take a second and just appreciate Patty Harrison's year. Before we get into ours,
yeah,
let's talk about Patty Harrison. That girl, I think she has a future.
Got big things
got
coming.
Big things
She's
happening.
Got big things coming. And by big things coming, I mean the big things on her chest. Oh my God, her titties. She's got big fake tits that are infected. And she does a show about it. Me seeing her do that show in Edinburgh was this year. So many divas.
Let's talk about your year. I just want to rattle off a few things that you've been through.
Okay.
Not been through, but that you've gotten to experience.
No, let's do it. Let's get it holistically going.
Well, okay. I just...
Holistic episode.
Before we get holistic, I just want to put out there, I just want to put clay on the table, okay? My favorite thing to do.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You're always claying.
Sydney World Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Edinburgh Fringe, Las Culturistas Culture Awards. These are the things that we've just talked about. My gosh. Multiple shows, multiple performances.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of Christmas, the album, the music videos, the visualizers? Rockefeller Center in Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, we went there.
A Kelly Clarkson show included in the multiple shows. A wonderful sort of traveling to London, to Amsterdam, to Berlin.
So much.
All of these things. I think you've had a really eventful, textured year.
Can I? I'm going to be 100% real.
Okay.
This year, right? It couldn't have started worse. I think I spent the whole first half of it, like, not myself. I think I was grieving and mourning a relationship that ended for maybe what I would call, but my therapist would say to stop being hard on myself, but a disproportionate amount of time, like truly difficult. And then pivoted to the Christmas of it all, which really took up the last half of the year.
Literally the second half of the year, July to December.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been one of the most interesting years of my life because it has been like truly every emotion. Like I was looking back on it and I was thinking, wow, I really always thought this was like one of the worst years of my life. I was like really struggling, like emotionally. Looking back on it, I think it was an important year because I did learn a lot. And I think that like even those periods of like really doing bad because I was really doing bad. I mean, like me going to all those concerts and traveling that much was entirely a cover for me just not wanting to sit with myself. Because I was too fucking depressed. I was just getting stoned every single day, sitting in my apartment, eating bad. I don't think I've ever ate worse
this year.
It was horrible. And then I like put my whole energy into this Christmas thing, which usually every year, if I am having a tough one, saves me and brings me out. And this year, it's been really interesting because I feel like I hit like the maximum on this bit, which is the Christmas project, because literally when I started it in 2017, I thought, oh, the thing that's funny about it is Christmas ubiquity. Like, that to me is what's the funniest thing about it. That's the whole bit, is like, you can become ubiquitous during Christmas if you just nail it during the Christmas season. And so then all these years later,
the reality is you are Christmas ubiquity.
To say yes to every single opportunity. And I am so tired. I'm having the best time of my life, but I am so tired. It is so weird the way that the internet of it all, just riding that wave too, just like the interesting things that happen on the internet when you put yourself out there this much for this project has been so interesting. So as a meta project, in a way, I feel very proud and happy to have landed the bit and stuck the bit. And like, the album did great. And I fucking love meeting everyone at the shows and being on the road and performing the material that I still like performing. But I am fucking exhausted. And ultimately, I will leave the year having been like, you know what? I got through it. It was an emotionally really difficult time. Professionally, it was an incredible time. And there's positive and negative things about both that I didn't realize before. So it was a fucking growing year. Absolutely. And next year, if I have resolutions, it's be better with money, way less internet. Mm. Like, the Twitter's going. Kiss goodbye to our Twitter.
Can we announce here once and for all? This has been months in the making. We're taking down our Twitter, and we are
it is no longer mentally healthy.
I am still keeping my porn alt, unfortunately. And by porn alt, I mean
do it.
I'm not posting anything. It's just I'm aggregating the porn girls.
Yeah. So way better with money spending, way less internet, and overall just like more balance. Less extremes, less going everywhere and doing every fucking thing because I can't fucking handle myself. And even professionally, like, no longer saying yes to everything just because I feel like if I take a break one day that the album will flop or like it's all on me. I just push myself so fucking hard. And then just because you show up and have a positive energy and like work really fucking hard, like, that doesn't always mean like operating in this kind of environment of like the internet and like the press thing, etc., that it's always going to be positive. And so just tons of lessons learned, and then a bunch of personal things too, like red flags are red flags, you know. It's nice to take your time. But that's for me. That's what I think I would say.
Girl, you have grown like a giant stalk to the sky.
I got 22 tattooed on my arm because 2022 was like a year where I really like felt like everything I did paid off, and it reminded me to take risks. But I probably should have that fucking number 23 tattooed on my arm because it was actually more important, I think. It was a more of a test. It was less constant high. There were a lot more lows and sustained lows, but ultimately like a triumphant good year where I learned things and at least have a plan going forward.
Yes.
About like the way I can make my life better doing the things that we do.
You might have to get an arm extension surgery because you might keep getting those years tattooed on. You are going to learn every year.
It's just like, wow, this was another year. Tattoo it on my body to the point where I'm the most tattooed woman in America and it's just numbers. I'm like Adele, but with my own body and dumber.
That's a slay. I think that's a huge slay.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan. on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
Now go on, girl. I want to hear about my girl's roses, thorns, peaks, valleys, the summary, the recap of Bowen Yang's 2020 fucking three.
Well, I think mine started really harrowingly too. I think January 2nd, I was on a plane to go to London, and thus began my like yo-yoing between two, I was going to say time zones, but really two nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it not becoming so good for my physical and mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And that on top of working what's already a pretty demanding job emotionally, mentally, physically, was a wonderful illustration of my limits as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is actually quite beautiful to know about yourself. I think I took time this year, as everyone knows, to like really gather myself because it got bad. I think I had one of the lowest lows of my life just on an awareness level. And the big takeaway from that was not only like personal things and self-knowledge, but I was just like, oh, the people who matter, a lot of whom are the listeners of this podcast, can understand where I'm coming from. And they will. There were many moments this year where like RPKFs were like very, they got it. You know, they got it.
Yeah, and they got it.
When we were comfortable or not comfortable with something, they respected it completely. And that is extremely rare. And we are so thankful. And it just speaks to how thoughtful everyone is. And we really appreciate that.
They're the best. They're the best.
Yeah.
And I'll say again, I fucking love meeting you guys because you're all gorgeous. Like literally, I'm obsessed with the people that listen to our podcast. I mean, like,
slay legends.
You guys are great, but keep going.
That's basically it. It was just a lot of ping ponging. That was like the main thing for the first half. And then with the strikes, that was really tough, but also necessary. And it was nice to sort of feel some sort of community with other writers, other actors. I think you and I also got to educate ourselves on how this whole business works. Mm-hmm. in nice ways, in ways that like are illuminating but also troubling. And I am loving The Ankler. If anyone wants any sort of insight into the entertainment industry, it's a good Substack. This is my year of Substacks, honestly. And then,
ooh,
gosh, and then going right back into work was a really abrupt shift, but one that I think we were all grateful to do or to sort of go through. And we did 8 shows in 10 weeks at SNL, which is a lot. Normally we get those spaced out a bit or we have some more padding in between runs. And I think we all met that challenge well. And I'm really proud of everybody who works at the show, cast, writers, crew. And there's a real sense of community, not community, of just like siblinghood. Like, I think everyone, the vibes are really good there right now. And that is a collective sort of mindset that we all are putting aside ego as much as possible, even though it's extremely difficult at that job. Everyone is supportive.
Mm.
It's been really nice. I love seeing everybody shine. We've got a good bunch of people. And I think on a cast level, I kind of am really into the fact that SNL is having this like ensemble era. To quote Joy Behar, Fred Armisen is Joy Behar. So what? Who cares? It's like, I don't think a show like SNL necessarily needs like an identifiable star. Like, it was amazing to have Kate back. And like, I love and miss the Kate Cecily 80 era where you had like these like people that like really drove and led the show. I kind of like that we're all sharing the wealth a bit. I honestly do.
Yeah, I will say like you have seemed in this, because you just said like it's been a lot of shows in a short amount of time and going right back in, et cetera. I think that what makes me so happy is you seem the happiest there that you've ever been.
That's true.
I can feel that from you. And I also think that you have been absolutely fucking crushing it too. And it feels like you're excited creatively and professionally. And maybe that is because the ensemble feels right or the vibes feel right. But you've been so good, obviously, on the show. And it seems like personally. Like, and I'm just like so happy to see it because I know how bad some segments of the year were.
I felt bad in the past. Yeah. And like, that's not to say that like, I mean, the winter is always tough, just emotionally, vibes wise. We're all just like depressed from the cold and whatever. But yeah, I have really settled into something nice. I'm very lucky there. I think I am heard there. I think people, there is a level of care and thought for me. It's not been easy. It's been as challenging of a year as any. I just really, each and every person there at the show right now, I really appreciate and enjoy, and they're all very good at what they do. Like everybody, everybody.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, what did Becca say? A certified fave of my dad.
That, I mean, Bowen. Mr. Ramos.
Let us not go without saying that there was an ABBA Christmas sketch that starred Bowen Yang, Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig, and Kate McKinnon. Okay! Like, I mean, let me just pump my sister up for a second. All of his ensemble talk aside, which I do believe and do agree
it's
with.
It's the truth.
There still was a little bit of a quartet happening in that ABBA Christmas sketch. And I said, my girl, and by the way, the transformative makeup, and you really do rock a mustache. I said, I need to do a project with Bowen Yang where you are a mustache top.
Girl, I wish my follicles could produce the mustache.
I'm writing it.
It looks incredible on me.
It belongs on your face the way it belongs on your face.
But I can't naturally produce this. No. I can't naturally make my own.
But you know what you can naturally produce? Joy. And
girl,
laughter. And
I'm
blessings.
Looking at the joy factory right now. You are the joy king.
I've been so up and down. I've been so up and down.
Of course you
this
have.
Has been the most, it's been the weirdest year.
It's been a weird year. I have no expectations for the next one. I really don't.
Yeah.
But as a unit of time, as an arbitrary unit of time, I am very just in awe of like, oh God, we're at that place now, obviously, all of us, where we're like, oh gosh, that was this year. Like, I think that's a very, and look, it's tough. Like, bad things are happening in the world. Worse things might come.
Horrors
all around. But at least we have each other.
At least we have each other, and at least George Santos has finally wished for you to have EGOT status.
I can't say that I watched that and felt good about it.
Okay, let's talk about the ZY interview with George Santos, because it is culture. When I heard that she was going to do it, like, I had a group chat going, and a lot of people were like, oh, we really wish she wouldn't do this. Why are you platforming him? Like, I don't want to see him, etc. And I was like, look, she's got one fucking job. Z-Way's one job is to be a comedian. And what that should mean is fucking dragging people like this into the clown square and saying tomato, 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 and pointing at the fool.
And I think she did that.
I think she did too. Look, I mean, like, it was entertaining. Do I think it's a shame that you cannot humiliate him? Like, you cannot actually expose ignorance in him, which is when I think Z-Way's song. I mean, she is a pop star.
She is a pop star, after all.
But it's when I think Z-Way's show is most successful and effective is when it feels like someone because of their own ego who couldn't help but grab the spotlight, something about their ignorance is exposed about them, about like their blind spot or something evil about them or something that's like, you know, incredibly ignorant that they think. And I feel like you can't do that with him. Like, I do kind of think like when she asked, like, what can we do to make you go away? And he said, stop inviting me places, but you can't. I was kind of like, I mean, he's got her there. Like, well, at that point,
I think like she is operating outside of a traditional sort of like, she's putting this on like ZNN and her YouTube channel. Like, she is no longer.
Yeah, she's doing
like,
drag, journalist drag.
No, she's doing journalist drag. And like, look, like Showtime was flop enough to cancel her show. I'm sorry to call Showtime a Correct. Flop, but you know, in this case, okay. And in other cases, you could say that. I'm sure like the people at Viacom will survive with me calling them this, but.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think she's still succeeded in what she does best, which is whether or not he feels humiliation, it's still some kind of like Emperor's New Clothes thing where like she can make you look foolish. And like mm-hmm. even the whole like the whole Marsha P. Johnson, James Baldwin thing, not knowing who those people are. Like that's
of course he doesn't know who they are.
Of course he doesn't know who they are. But it's like the rest of it is also just like us understanding on a slightly deeper level that he is like just kind of ridiculous
pathetic person.
And then I like in the beginning, like I think she did the responsible thing in the beginning by being like, no congressmen were paid in the making of this video, even though George Santos mm-hmm. asked three times. That is
Z-Way.
And I think that is successfully embarrassing George, even though we don't see him feel it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe in the totality of it, it's like a little embarrassing. I don't think it is though. And that's the thing is it's just like, look, like I said, it's her job to point to the world and be like, this is fucked up. This is like, that's a comedian's, that should be our job. And like pointing out something about like our society that's like, hey, look over here. Like this is unusual or suspect for some reason. And obviously like we all already knew that about him. So that's where I guess it falls a little short. There's nothing to be revealed, but I did have fun watching it. Do I think it's good for the world that we have him on tape doing the Nicki Monster verse? I don't really know. You know what I mean? But I fucking think that she is a fucking original. She's the only one that could have done.
Yeah,
I think it would have been weird had she not said like
exactly.
George Santos, you'd be an iconic guest. And then he said, okay, let's do it.
So then of course she's going to do it.
Not?
No, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she also looked fucking sensational.
Amazing.
She looked amazing. And I do think like, I get that it's polarizing and some people are like, how could you do this? And other people were like, slay mama. And I think it's absolutely firmly somewhere in the middle where it's just like, no, I don't think there's anything particularly grand slam about this, but like it was entertaining. It was, you know, whatever that means. But also like the fact that he's platformed is not her problem.
Right.
It's our problem. We platform people like this all the time en masse. He's not even close to being the worst person in government. Like
right.
think about like everyone. I mean, like we platform these people. This is the hell that we live in. We are dancing in hell right now.
Yes.
And it's like, the fact that she had him on her show, that's just like the reality of our world. Be mad at that.
Right, right, right. The thing that set it into motion was him getting elected, even though it was reported on later that he was this grifter. I mean, any feeling of, ooh, this isn't the best is solely his fault and it doesn't reflect on Z-Way at all.
It reflects on us as a society. Like this is what the world is on fire and we refuse to put it out. And until we put it out, this is just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the famous political figure right now. It's not Z-Way's fault. It's not entertainment's fault. It's the fucking reality of the world. This person was elected to Congress and we're living in a post-Trump world. Like, you know what I mean? This isn't a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like platforming criminals who are also in government, this goes back, people. Like, I understand, like, you know, you might think that like the way we put out that fire is for Z-Way to not platform this person. But this person has been legitimized by the fucking populace.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. He's not just going to go away. He was elected to Congress. Fix that.
Yeah.
Do something about that if you're upset. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of Congress, I am so curious about the way the congressional twink slash top.
Right.
The gay sex situation is kind of still feeling like a niche story at this point. It's like not really getting a lot of pickup outside of like gay Twitter, gay social media. I'm not seeing it covered. Am I crazy?
I can't tell anymore. You know, that's what's weird about like the way that I'm getting information lately. I can't tell if this is a big story or if this is a gay thing. I really can't.
I was with Jared and our friend Steven Simbari on Saturday. They came to the show. Yeah. And like, so Saturday morning, we all wake up to like the video and okay, see, Hans doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Really? Wow.
This is so interesting. Okay, so basically, I'm going to do a terrible job of summing this up, but there was a video that leaked from a close friend's story of someone in DC. The person filming it was someone, some like German lobbyist or something.
I guess.
Like someone who basically had anal sex with a congressional aide of someone from Maryland. I'm not sure his name. But a Democrat from Maryland, they filmed themselves having anal sex in the congressional hearing room.
Just railing. And the dick was huge. The top's dick was absolutely huge. Did you see it? Because I saw it.
I did. That's an important detail of the story. Absolutely.
Like, it's not even like there was gay anal sex happening in the congressional room or whatever the fuck it was. There was Olympic level bottoming happening where Amy Klobuchar sits. Like where Amy Klobuchar sits, this twink was taking a huge cock and then posted it on Close Friends where you can't trust anyone.
No.
Are you crazy? You think you can trust gay people?
Is nothing safe?
Oh my God.
Well, the thing is, we thought we could trust gay people on Close Friends.
No, and Bowen, I will say, sometimes there are certain people on Instagram who post things on Close Friends, and I'm like, are you insane?
Right.
How can you ever think you can trust gay people? Your close friends, I guarantee, if you're a gay person and you have a list of close friends, it's this. It's a few of your actual close friends, including one girl, which God bless every straight woman on a gay man's close friends.
They don't understand
everyone
the rule.
You've
yeah.
ever seen that you've ever wanted to fuck. And then a couple celebrities, maybe, just in case.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's close friends is.
Gay close friends, yeah.
Gay close friends. You think you can trust these gay guys? I don't think so, honey. You can't trust these gay guys. It's rule of culture number 8.
You can't trust these gay guys. So in this close friends, it's the top taking a picture of this twink's hole with this writing. In this very room, Sonia Sotomayor had her confirmation hearing. James Comey testified on Russian interference in the 2016 elections. Aiden got some thick German sausage and a Jaeger sauce finish.
Period.
So that is what happened. Mm-hmm. I think this is too shocking for mainstream media. That's what me and Jared were talking about. Like, it's like, how do you even begin? Because like, of course, I'm getting tagged on Saturday, like, Bowen Yang, are you prepared to play like the congressional twink?
Oh my God.
I wanted to be like, how do you think we're gonna
tell this and cover this one?
I'm so curious. I honestly am open to pitches. This is the only time in my career that I've ever been open to SNL sketch pitches. Every other moment of my life after this week, moratorium period for the rest of my life.
I think it should be a meta sketch. You guys in the writer's room literally discussing how exactly you get this across.
That's funny.
That's what it is. It's a meta sketch where you and one of the biggest things is they keep looking at you to explain.
That's really funny. Well, before we keep going, I just want to say on behalf of everyone who works at SNL, we should not listen to your joke pitches because it becomes a huge legal issue if your idea by some off chance is something that we end up using.
Okay, so forget I said that. Forget I said that.
So please rescind that, Matt.
I rescind.
That's a really funny idea.
I retract my statements. I retract my pitches.
But isn't this so interesting though? Like, I think not a lot of people off the internet, like our parents, I think are never going to hear about this.
You know what I'm going to do? Actually, literally right now, I'm going to text my mother and see if she knows what this is. Hold on one second.
I promise you she won't. I promise you.
So how do I even say this? Okay, mom, I'm going to text them both actually. Because my dad does watch a lot of news, so he will tell me. I'm saying, guys, what do you know about the gay guy having sex. I can't call him Senate. What, is he Senate bottom or Senate top?
The Congress twink. Do you know about the Congress twink? Ask them that.
I'm saying, do you guys know about the congressional aide? I'm gonna be proper, and just cause, so they can fill it in. Because if I say that, then it's gonna be like, guys, what do you know about the congressional aide having sex
in the congressional hearing room?
Hey guys, this is Matt from the future. I just wanted to update you on how my parents did eventually respond, because it wasn't until after we recorded the episode. My mother did not know, and my father said they hadn't been watching television that day. I said, no, this is days old. And I explained to them what happened. My mother emphasized the text and said the word, geez. Okay, that's all.
Hans is saying, I typed in NY Times Gay Sex Congress and the first hit is 7 links down and it's from Politico. Like, I think there is some SEO witchcraft and wizardry along with the media, not to get too tinfoil hat, but it's like Senate staffer who filmed public sex in Congress leaves Ben Cardin off. Yeah, Ben Cardin. But this is what I'm saying. Like, there's this like concerted thing where I think people are like, this is too crazy.
Icky.
It's icky. Like, I don't think we should beam this into the TVs of every household in America.
I mean, maybe. I guess, okay, so now I'm kind of like flipping around to, is it even important? Is it even important that some gay guys were having sex?
It's not.
In the Senate hearing room? Like, for me, it's just like, I don't know, our government is kind of funding a war where thousands of innocent people are dying. And that to me is just like where the continued energy should be. And for me, it's just like the fact that these gay guys had sex in the room. It's like, you know, at least they're not Congress people. At least it's not like someone doing it in public, like Lauren Boebert. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
To me, that's a story because she's like disrupting the peace and supposed to be like, you know, a figure of respect. These gay guys boned in the Senate hearing room. I would love it if it could be publicized on the news, because I think we should play those gays in the feature film on HBO. Like, I think they should really discard the George Santos movie. There's a much more interesting and fun.
It is very interesting because you want the lead up to that moment. You want to know, like, how they plan that. It's a heist movie.
That's our sex scene together.
Yes.
Honestly, like, if there ever is going to be one, the sex scene that you and I do together is me. I think I play the top, the German top, and you play Congress bottom, and I rail you in the Senate hearing room. And that is, I think, the only sex scene that we should ever do.
And the movie is called Jaeger Sauce Finish.
Yeah.
I think that you're absolutely right that this should be the movie instead of the George Santos pick.
Yeah, and I think we win Emmys. We tie for Emmys.
Right.
Like, it's like Fellow Travelers, but us. And the sex is more graphic and happens once. It's an absolute railing in the Senate hearing room. And actually, no one even remembers the names Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey anymore because of this
film. Because of this film. Well, I just want to say, like, maybe this whole thing is not important because at this point, I think everyone understands that, like, institutionally, like, maybe that means nothing anymore. Like, it doesn't really mean anything to have sex in the halls of Congress because it's like, well, Congress is sort of whatever.
Yeah, I mean, George Santos was prancing about in there and Marjorie Taylor Greene is still there. So, like, yeah, let's have gay sex in it. Go off.
I just want to challenge you on the Lauren Boebert thing, because I don't think it's shocking that Lauren Boebert was being, like, frisky and handsy.
Have her jugs felt up.
Have her jugs felt
Say
up.
With your chest.
I think anyone having their jugs felt up would be like, we're treating them the same way we would treat anybody having their jugs felt up. It just so happens that she's this congressional figure. But
yeah,
what is sacred is like theater. And so...
Mm-hmm. Frozen.
No, is...
Oh, wait, no. What was it? It was Beetlejuice?
Is Beetlejuice.
I wish it was Frozen.
I wish it would be so funny if it was Frozen. I mean, it's perfect.
Let it go! And Mama's getting her fucking areola twitched. She's saying, oh, ooh.
That's a really good Lauren Boebert.
Oh, makes my nipple feel so good when you touch it, daddy.
Like, I think that's...
Touch it during the big song. Touch my nipples during the big song.
And I think that it's the fact that it was being done at a beautiful show. That's why people
were upset. A beautiful show. I guess, here's the thing, like, should we take it as a personal insult as a community that they don't want to report on our love? You know what I mean? That's the way we make love. Sometimes the way that we make love is we take a huge penis publicly. That's our lovemaking. Like, what? You don't want to hear about it in the news? That sucks, you guys.
That's the source of homophobia.
Exactly.
This is
painted in the Senate hearing room. Like all of a sudden it was like messy gay sex all over Klobuchar's seat.
Well, this is like an aspect of queer theory. I might get some flack for this, but I feel like,
oh, here we go. We get into queer theory.
Sodomy is the thing. Butt sex is the reason why like gay men are less accepted in society than lesbian women.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's not, no. I've always felt that, and look, this is problematic, but I have always felt straight guys being like, oh yeah, lesbians, haha, great. It's because like that attraction to women is still seen through the straight male gaze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the second you start talking about like gay guys and the way that they fuck, and of course they walk around with a ton of privilege, like white gay men in this society walk around with a ton of privilege. But so when it comes to gay sex, that is what kicks it over into like the homophobic incense for straight men to kill us,
yeah,
is because
yeah.
they think that's disgusting and it shames them. And that's when it gets weird. And that's why it would never be reported on in this en masse way, is because butt sex is poop, is gross. And they don't think of it like all sex is gross, which it kind of is. It just appeals to our base instincts. They think about it like poop is gross, butt sex is gross, gay men are gross, I don't want to hear about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it casts gay men aside. Now I have the instinct to go out and like murder them. That's what I think.
Should I cut out the lesbians thing?
I don't know. I think if you can't at least understand what you're saying, then like you're being obtuse, you're being glib. Like you're not saying that like lesbians are more accepted in society, like, or we have it worse. You're saying like there is a thing about gay sex, and I think this is true, there is a thing about gay sex that it is identified with being disgusting,
mm-hmm.
and therefore like it puts us at the bottom of like a certain arena, like it puts us at the bottom of respect in that regard. Like it's butt sex, it's gross, it's poop.
Yeah, yeah,
people think that. And that's probably why you don't see like the way you'd see like Lauren Boebert engaging in sexual activity in the crowd at Beetlejuice. You do see that like on the major news. You're not going to see grainy footage of this twink's ass in the air getting it in the butt on ABC,
no,
NBC,
no,
Fox, CBS. You're just not. CNN is not reporting on that. Anderson Cooper is not saying, next up, twink gets railed.
Right.
Poop.
And we're not saying this from a place of, at least I don't think we're saying this from a place of internalized homophobia. I think it is just like, shocking. It's so shocking for a general news consuming public.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, it's not that I'm like, oh, gay people shouldn't be seen. It's just that like this, like the angle, the angle and the images out of that situation are like, gay Twitter is going insane because we're like, oh my mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But that's the world. I guess that's the thing, is it's just, I was thinking about, because I think Joel made the comparison to the Lewinsky scandal. He was like, you know, people be fucking in places they shouldn't have been in DC for a very long time. This is not like a gay thing.
They're not the first, they're not the last people to fuck in that room, I'm sure.
No, certainly not, especially if we keep putting the biggest clowns in America in Congress. You know what I mean? Like, and also, not that it's clownery to have sex wherever. Like, at this point, I'm very burn it down about the whole thing, or who cares about the whole thing. And that's why I'm like, whenever anyone's like, how dare Z-Way? It's like, the reason why we feel, I think, how dare Z-Way, or the reason why we have like this, you know, animosity towards each other on Twitter over this stupid shit, is because we are so politically hopeless right now. Like, there's nothing we can do. All we can do is spin our wheels online and say, I'm really personally hurt that you don't like Tate McRae. There's shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stan wars are able to go so hard because it's not like whenever we make noise about anything bigger or a bigger deal, like anything happens.
No. So you can scale your outrage down to like, how dare you right. not like Tate McRae, even though we all know that that is a frivolous thing to care about.
Exactly. It's like, I think that sometimes, and something I've noticed over the past few years, it feels like everyone's personal taste, like for example, with art, like on a grander scale rather, it's like, if I say I didn't like something, or I have something to say about some piece of art or some, you know, whatever, artist, television show, etc., despite the fact that, like, you know, there should be places to, like, critique art,
yes.
discuss things, whatever, it all becomes very personal. And
it's an identity.
Who said this, or where I read this, yes, people associate identity with the things they like, and that's stand-up, and that's like stan culture, and that funnels into online, which gets very ugly, etc. And someone said that that tends to happen during times when there is political lack of agency politically, like a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness politically. It tends to correlate to very intense discussion and discourse about things that are more artistic in nature or commercial in nature, because there's this feeling of, well, we can't actually have actionable change, but I can go online and like say this thing about and say this negative thing about something you like. And I can contribute to discourse in this way. And it tends to be more intense when there's political hopelessness. That's just something I tend to agree with. And I feel like is happening.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that sounds like a Guy Branum quote.
I mean, maybe. Maybe he's the one that said it. Just assume anything, if you even thought that was an intelligent thing to say. Just think it was Guy. It was Guy.
It was Guy. It was Guy.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launch and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Well, let's see.
What else? What else? I mean, speaking of Tate McRae, I did listen to her album. I do think it all sounds the same. I appreciate that she's bringing back the dance break.
I love to see the dance break
come back to culture. But I don't know. Would love to see some of this energy online, like behind someone like Chapel Roan. That's just what I would say.
Right.
But I do like Tate McRae. She dances.
I like the album. I like Stay Done. She's an album called Stay Done. It's like the whole album itself is like, I think a lot of people are like surprised at the sort of overall tone of it, which is not quite as dance poppy as maybe like the lead singles might have suggested.
Mm.
That it is more like vibey.
It's very vibey.
Cursive-y, you know, whatever.
Yeah, everything has that sound of like taking place underwater a little bit. Like it's that like production thing where it's just like, ooh. Ew.
Yeah. Ooh, ew. Yeah, definitely. I just want to say, LOL at me being like the first person to ever think that Billie Eilish is amazing and iconic.
Oh like, my God, she was unreal.
Being in that room, I watched What Was I Made For both times, once at Dress and on air. Just like watching her sing that song, which will probably win her another Oscar. It's just like rightfully.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Like,
no doubt.
Rightfully, completely rightfully. But just watching her, and it was her idea to like have the cast and Maya and Kristen and Kate like send in footage of them, you know, from when they were kids, and just so beautiful. And her voice in that room, like just to hear her voice live is really sublime and really heavenly. And like, God, she like invented this shit. I think she like innovated on this thing that I think all the girls are doing now. And I feel like mileage varies depending on who tries to replicate it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not their own. I'm sure like the label puts pressure on them to like do a Billie Eilish song. But like, that just speaks to like her influence and her sort of vision as an artist to like stick to this thing that like was never a guaranteed success until it was. Mm-hmm. Like, she is so, and I finally listened to Happier Than Ever all the way through for the first time in a long time. Like, I think like when it came out,
the album,
I was just listening to like spots here and there, but like, God, that is a true artwork. Along with like When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Get? Like, just her albums are so, she is like, thank God she is an album artist, because that's the thing that like could have died along with like so many other things in the music industry. Like, album artists are still here to stay. Like, I don't think that is a bygone format.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just to speak on a song from Happier Than Ever, I am an Oxytocin stan.
Oh yeah.
I absolutely love that song. Happier Than Ever obviously is like one of the great songs.
Amazing. Amazing.
And I just, yeah. And also like, I appreciate more and more her aesthetic of that album. Like, that sort of like, just, we talked about it at the time, but her like sourpuss in those glamour looks with that blonde hair. And like, you know, I think that she's fucking incredible. And that performance was amazing. That song is so fucking great. It is a perfect movie song, and it also makes that movie even better. Like, it takes the Barbie movie to another level. It is an absolute slam dunk for an Oscar, I think. Like, in a time where, like, I guess this is a good year for the songs. Not really, though. I mean, it really just was that Barbie song that like really popped off. And then again, we talked about that song from Wish, like, kind of not being anything.
Well, I don't think so, honey.
It's winning in a walk.
I don't think so, honey. Out Alpha the Alpha, not making it into the conversation for these damn awards that still don't know what's good for them.
They don't know what's good for them.
Out Alpha the Alpha, Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, come on. That is a showstopper.
Yeah. It deserves to be in the conversation, I'll say it. But, you know, those precursors are coming in and we're not seeing many. Have you seen any movies? Have you watched any screeners that have come through?
This is finally my week to like really catch up. So I don't have anything
to report.
Dive
in, me too, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. We will get into it at some point, people, in the new year. But while it's still this year, what do you say we get into some I Don't Think So, Honey?
Yes, I have one that I hope people understand.
Are you saying you want to go first?
No. I'm just prefacing mine with that. But do you want to go first?
You hope people understand that. Okay, I think I'm going to make this very easy for people to understand. I think people are going to agree with me.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the Agatha Show, changing its name literally every week. So the Agatha Show, which is the spinoff of WandaVision, was originally going to be called, I think, Agatha. It was at one point Agatha Coven of Chaos. It was Agatha Darkhold Diaries. It was originally something else. Like, I'm forgetting what it was, but now it's Agatha All Along. And literally every time they announce the show, it's a different title. You guys, I Don't Think So, Honey. Just call this Agatha colon, you liked this, remember? Agatha colon, Catherine Hahn. Agatha colon, from WandaVision. Agatha colon, like this like alliteration parade that is happening. Just name it something and move the fuck on. I Don't Think So,
seconds.
Honey, this thing of the show constantly having a different title, just stop. Or just like stop announcing it. Like, when it comes out, it'll come out. Do press for it the week
before.
5 seconds. Please, God, Disney, get it together for once in your life. You are losing to Universal.
And that's 1 minute. Ooh, you heard it here first. And you're the authority on this.
Well, you know, this is breaking news. Universal has bought over 500 acres of land in Great Britain, and they've trademarked the names Universal Studios Great Britain and Universal Great Britain, because there was a rumor that Universal, once Epic Universe is finished in Orlando, and yes, this is the place I go for my happy place when I am off on the road. I go to @BioReconstruct and I look at construction videos of the Epic Universe project in Orlando, and it is going to be unbelievable. The paint is on the buildings. A lot of everything is like testing. The rides are testing. I'm telling you, if you're like me and have this like disorder where you are into theme parks construction, I don't know where my tribe is and my community is, but this is what I do. I love it.
It's engineering. Honey, this is beautiful.
I love it. It's what I've wanted to do since I was a little kid, and I just love watching everything go up in the landscaping and the architecture. And like, as you guys know, I'm a theme park person, so I've been really, really watching this. And Universal is about to eat Disney alive in Orlando. They really are. And now they're going to have a huge, probably massive theme park complex in Great Britain, in Bedford, which is about 45 minutes outside of London. And that is going to be where they expand next. And it's going to have all original rides. They're not going to carbon copy anything from another park because they want it to be a destination in its own right. And they don't want to cannibalize the Orlando market.
Amazing.
So this, I'm just saying, there's a lot going on and the theme park wars have only just begun. It's really the only area where these companies can for sure thing make money. So they're going to be going in. I mean, Disney has said $20 billion is going into the theme parks over the next 10 years, which is insane. Like, it's about to pop off. But going back to my original point, just name it fucking Agatha.
Yeah. Agatha : you like this, remember?
I think Agatha : Catherine Hahn is actually the best title for it.
People are going to be seated. It's fine. Just make it clear. Make it easy. I mean, or just go, Patti LuPone's in this.
Right. It's just, I forget what it was originally first called.
Agatha Coven of Chaos. It was called Agatha Harkness.
Yeah. But it was, I think it was originally called something. It was Coven of Chaos was definitely a thing. And then there was Darkhold Diaries. Now it's Agatha All Along. And I think it started out as something else, which is makes it the funniest version, is that they're not even on the third one of this. They're on the fourth. It's like,
that's
really wild.
Shocking. I mean, they're scrambling. They don't know what they're doing. I think like the Marvels not being Mama Slay was like the nail in the coffin.
I'm on the Wikipedia. Okay. Yes, it was called Agatha House of Harkness. Then it was called Agatha Coven of Chaos. And then it was called Agatha Darkhold Diaries. And now it's Agatha All Along. So they're just going down the fucking alphabet, picking things. And I think it's so funny, but it has to stop. I'm telling you. Like, just stop. It is embarrassing. It looks so embarrassing.
This is so humiliating. It's
just like thinking about like execs anywhere being like, should we announce another name? Like, no.
Can I ask why the separate trademarks for Universal Studios Great Britain and Universal Great, just to like buy domain? It's like when people buy domain names. And
what I would guess is that Universal Great Britain would be the name of the overall complex and Universal Studios Great Britain would be the name of the park. And why you'd have a different name of the park and of the complex is because if you wanted to add a second park, you then would name it something else.
Yes.
Probably, I mean, I don't know if these trademarks have already been filed, but probably you'd see like, you know, some sort of Universal Great Britain City Walk type thing. You'll soon start seeing trademarks for different hotels. That was how everyone knew the Universal Epic Universe project was happening, is because you can pretty much figure out what they're planning to do by two things: name trademarks and land acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a massive land acquisition
in Orlando,
billions of dollars in Orlando, and then also now in Great Britain, and it amounts to about 560 acres. So when you have that and also a trademark being filed for Great Britain, it pretty much leads to one thing.
Well, this is the thing, like people in the UK are very much like, oh yeah, like we went all the way to Florida because the kids wanted to go to Disney World and Universal.
Yep.
So they're flying overseas for that stuff. It's like, because Disneyland Paris is not all the way there. I think it's kind of, it's plateaued.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very different from other Disney parks because in Universal Paris, the culture is just very different there. Like,
yes,
for example,
yes,
you can drink wine in the Magic Kingdom there. Like, they're not really a theme park driven culture. And if you're going to Paris, like, I don't know that you're necessarily thinking, and Disney World, of course,
right,
like, it's probably not the number one thing you're doing. Whereas Universal Great Britain, I think you're right, doesn't have a lot of competition. And if it does, it's out. And the thing that Universal has is the Harry Potter IP, right, which if you go to London, is everywhere.
But I also think Brits are secretly a theme park culture. Mm-hmm. Like Britain is a theme park culture. All of the UK.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a slam dunk. I just think totally, because of the IP they have, because another IP that Universal, I don't know if this is official that they own it, but it's probably a thing, is they probably have the Lord of the Rings IP. There's been rumors for a very long time that Universal was going to be the one to break open the Lord of the Rings IP into a full theme park situation, which I think is a slam dunk if it happens. And another thing I heard is that they were finally going to try to do theme park rights for 007 as well as Paddington.
Oh, a Paddington one would be so...
They are not Universal properties, but those are acquisitions they could make to add on to their IP already, which includes stuff that's like pretty international, like Jurassic Park,
of course,
Nintendo now. I mean, like, they have the right IP. They just have to flesh it out so it doesn't repeat all over the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course. Wow, this is very educational.
And that's my theme park report.
Thank you.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Are you ready to do I Don't Think So, Honey, My Darling?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's good. And remember, he hopes that you guys understand this one. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, as time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, people gagging, standing, this whole Claire Foy, I Don't Do Blue thing. Like, I don't understand what's cool about that or what's like aspirational or admirable. I feel like whatever reason this person has to not sign an autograph with a blue Sharpie is probably a stupid one. Probably one that doesn't make much sense. And if she explained it to you, you'd be like, well, that's weird. Like, if I were to say I don't sign with a blue marker, that would mean I was a weird person. That I was a very weird person. And if that's who Claire Foy is, then that's wonderful. But I feel like I don't think it's like a cool thing to be like, this is a boundary I have, no blue. I feel like that is, and I love
5 seconds.
I love any kind of diva behavior. I think this is something outside of that. I think this is just a weird idiosyncrasy that I will never understand.
And that's 1 minute. what I was told, because I had the same reaction as you. Well, A, let's just say, in terms of the reaction, that's just like, I think, gay Twitter being like, oh, this woman did something unusual, stan. And that is how simplistic it is.
Not everything deserves that.
Right. It's literally just like, oh my gosh, something happened, stan.
Right.
That's literally, something happened with a woman mother, you know?
Right.
Like, that's literally all that is.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That can be reduced to that, and it is that simple. What I was told is that the reason she doesn't sign in blue is because she was advised that if you sign in blue, your signature can be copied and put on documents.
Oh my God, I take it all back.
So that's why she did that. And I actually was like, oh, that's actually really interesting, because then she grabbed the black pen and just signed. Because I thought, what would be a weird enough reason? Is she just that weird? And because any interview I've ever seen with her, any interaction she's had with anyone that I've seen, she seems perfectly normal. And I think it's because she is. And she was just told, don't sign with blue ink, because then they can use your signature to potentially steal from you.
Oh my God. I gotta Google this.
Yeah, I think it might be a thing, because as iconic as it, I guess, is for her to be throwing her head over her shoulder and saying, I don't do blue, like, maybe that can be put over, like, you know, someone absolutely bombing in a blue dress on a red carpet and then a meme after being like, I don't do blue. Like, I'm sure you will see that from gay people on Twitter and Instagram for sure. And I think it could be fun given the application. I legit think she had a reason to do that.
Okay. I guess this is a thing and I must rescind that. Let it be on the record. If the publications want to say that I was trashing Claire Foy, that's fine.
Wow. We've learned so much even in this episode and this year. And Bowen Yang, I have to say, I think this next year is going to be a good one for us. I'm so excited for everything we got going on, girl.
Me too. Endlessly proud of you. Always smiling when my girl is slaying. And
the star of my life.
Star of my life. I love you down. I always will.
Love you down.
And I'll see you very soon.
Yes. We're about to see each other. For fun.
For festive merriment.
Festive merriment.
We always end every episode with the song.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Gay.
From now on, our troubles
will be miles away. Think of thoughts of a twink getting it in the butt in the Senate hearing room as we sing.
Here we are as in olden days.
Cock was huge.
Happy golden days.
Shaved too. Shaved cock.
Of your
hit the prostate.
Faithful friends.
Did he say if he came? Who are near to us?
I think that's what a Jaeger.
Have we heard from
I think
him?
That's what a Jaeger finish is.
Right.
Gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together.
Where Klobuchar sits.
If the fates allow, hang the shining star upon the highest bough.
That jock strap better be in a museum someday.
Honestly.
And have yourself a merry little
Jägermeister. What was it?
Jäger cream bomb? Jäger something bomb. You guys can find it.
Bye.
Bye. Hey guys, this is Matt, and I'm actually emotional because this is my last plug of the year for Have You Heard of Christmas, the tour. I am having my last few shows. I would love for you guys to come. I'm at the Castro Wednesday, December 20th in San Francisco, Ace Hotel Thursday, December 21st in LA, and on Saturday, December 23rd, I will be at the Town Hall in New York City, and then I will just disappear into a cloud of smoke, I promise you. But anyway, stream the album, come see us on tour, and if you have already, I love you so much.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.